Hebrews chapter 11 tonight, that's where we'll be. Hebrews chapter 11, we're looking at the characters of Hebrews 11 and how they walked in their faith. And just some of the tributes to them, some of the things that we've learned from them. And we are just trying to live closer to the Lord, and we're hoping that looking at their lives might give us help in living our lives and how we need help. As I looked at the verses we're going to look at tonight, Hebrews 11, verse number 32 will be our text, and 32, 33, and 34, there's some people here that have very unique backgrounds. Not much is said of them right here, but we'll look at their life and look at what they contributed to their walk of faith, how they might help us in our walk of faith. One of the things that that I think we need to realize is that all of these people had heroic faith. They were people that were God's heroes, and they were serious about serving God. And thank God, down through history, there have been people that have said, well, for me and my house, we're going to serve the Lord. And somebody's got to take a stand. Somebody's got to stand up and set the standard. And thank God for people like we're going to read about tonight. Hebrews chapter 11, verse 32. Let's stand in honor of the reading of the Word of God, and we'll look at four characters tonight. We won't have time for David because there's a lot I probably need to deal with on David. But, excuse me, we've got to look at these heroic faith that we see in these lives. Last week, we looked at Rahab. Boy, in the line of Christ, there she is, known as a harlot. God can change people. God can change people and get them straightened out. And what shall I more say? For the time would fail me to tell of Gideon and of Barak, and of Samson, and of Jephthah. They're right there, Jephthah. There's a fella, God changed him. He was the son of a harlot. And God used him as a judge of Israel. All of these were judges of Israel. There's a lesson here for us tonight as we look at their heroic faith. Each one of these had to deal with a particular problem with Israel. And you know what the problem was? Same thing Israel's dealing with today. Surrounded by terrorists. Do you realize that Gideon was dealing with terrorists? The Midianites. Barak was dealing with terrorists. Canaanites. But the Samson, dealing with terrorists. The Philistines. And Jephthah. The Ammonites. I mean, all of these were terrorist groups. And Israel's still fighting terrorist groups. Battle still raging. I believe there's something here for us tonight. Father, bless now. Speak to our hearts. Might we see the importance of stepping up for you, carrying on the faith that we have. Might we be the ones that carry on. Bless now. It's in Christ's name we pray. Amen. You may be seated. You'll probably want to find the book of Judges. And,
find Joshua there. I want to say something before we begin with these four characters. There's been a message preached. In fact, I've preached it here in this church. Many preachers have preached it. It has various titles, but its meaning is the same. Doesn't matter how the titles change. The message, how many of you remember the three-chair message? How many of you remember that? Okay. Tonight, I think we need to look at that message just for a moment to sort of get our minds in gear of what these judges had to do. And in order for us to understand the three-chair message, we've got to look at a portion of Scripture back in Joshua. So turn back to Joshua. And notice what the Word of God says for us in Joshua chapter 24. Notice what was going on in Israel's life. Verse 1, and Joshua gathered all the tribes of Israel to Shechem and called for the elders of Israel and for their heads and for the judges and for their officers, and they presented themselves before God. And Joshua said unto all the people, thus saith the Lord God of Israel, your fathers dwelt on the other side of the flood in the old time, even Terah, the father of Abraham, and the father of Nahor, and they served other gods. And I took your father Abraham from the other side of the flood and led him throughout all the land of Canaan and multiplied his seed and gave him Isaac. And we know the story there. Look at verse 13. And I have given you land for which you did not labor, and cities which you built not, and you dwell in them of the vineyards and olive yards which you planted not, do you eat. Now therefore, fear the Lord and serve him in sincerity and in truth, and put away the gods which your fathers served on the other side of the flood, and in Egypt, and serve ye the Lord. And if it seem evil unto you to serve the Lord, choose you this day whom you will serve, whether the gods which your fathers served that were on the other side of the flood, or the gods of the Amorites in whose land you dwell. But as for me and my house, we will serve the Lord. There's a man taking a stand. And the people answered and said, God forbid that we should forsake the Lord to serve other gods. That looks good. Verse 22. And Joshua said unto the people, you are a witness against yourselves that ye have chosen you, the Lord, to serve him. And they said, we are witnesses. Now therefore put away, said he, the strange gods which are among you, and incline your heart unto the Lord God of Israel. And the people said unto Joshua, the Lord our God we will serve, and his voice we will obey. Boy, amen. Huh? Great, great stuff. Judges chapter 2. Judges chapter 2. Notice what it says. Verse 1. And an angel of the Lord came up from Gilgal to Bochim and said, I made you to go up out of Egypt and have brought you into the land which I swear unto your fathers. And I said, I will never break my covenant with you. That's pretty definite there. Never break it. And ye shall make no league with the inhabitants of this land. Ye shall throw down their altars. But you have not obeyed my voice. Why have you done this? They weren't listening anymore, leaving God out of their lives. They were not following what God had to say. Notice what the Word of God says in verse 7. And the people served the Lord all the days of Joshua and all the days of the elders that outlived Joshua and had seen all the great works of the Lord that he did for Israel. Boy, that's great. And Joshua the son of Nun, the servant of the Lord, died, being 110 years old. And they buried him. Verse 9, verse 10. And also all the generations were gathered unto their fathers, and there arose another generation after them which knew not the Lord, nor yet the works which he had done for Israel. The three-chair message deals with the 3 points we just looked at. It deals with a Christian. Let's take a plumber. A plumber. Man that does plumbing for a living. This is the way he should be when he gets Christ into his heart. He should be a Christian plumber. What's first? Christian plumber. Amen? Right? And what happens when people start trending away from the Lord, going their own direction? They all of a sudden get in the second chair. They leave the first chair. And the children, they have a little boy and his name is Ziggy. Ziggy wants to be a plumber. Dad was a Christian plumber. Ziggy becomes a plumber Christian. What's first? Making a living. That's first. That's what it's all about. Got to make a living. And his Christianity takes second seat. The third group that we just read about, that other generation, they're in the third chair. They're just plumbers. They don't even go to church. That's how far we are away from losing our faith. That's how far, if we don't pass it on. If somebody doesn't step up. That's how far. Now, what we'll learn in the lives of these people tonight, they had heroic faith. The first person we're going to talk about tonight is Gideon. He was the sixth judge of Israel. I believe there's a secret to his success in serving the Lord. You know what it was? He did not leave God out. God was a very important part of his life. He was a man that felt undeserving for the task. He was a man of humility. He showed undying courage. He trusted the Lord. And he faced odds that were insurmountable. But he did it because he believed in God. Now, in Judges, we're there. Look at the sixth judge, meaning Gideon. Notice what the Word of God says for us in Judges chapter 6. Look with me at verse number 10. And I said unto you, I am the Lord your God. Fear not the gods of the Amorites, in whose land you dwell, but ye have not obeyed my voice. And there came an angel of the Lord, and sat under an oak, which was in Ophrah, that pertained unto Joash, the Abba Israelite. His son Gideon threshed wheat by the winepress to hide it from the Midianites. Now, that's not where you take care of wheat. That's in a walled area. Normally, when you're trying to thresh wheat, you're trying to get the junk stuff to blow away. You want to be out in the wind. And he was doing it, trying to hide it from the Midianites because they were terrorizing the Israelites. And we could almost call it terrorist attack. And the angel of the Lord came to Gideon and told him that he was going to use him. And notice in verse 13, "And Gideon said unto him, O my Lord, if the Lord be with us, why then is all this befalling us? And where be all the miracles which our fathers told us of, saying, Did not the Lord bring us up from Egypt? But now the Lord hath forsaken us and delivered us into the hands of the Midianites. And the Lord looked upon him and said, Go in this thy might, and thou shalt save Israel from the hand of the Midianites, and have not I sent thee?" And we see that God says, "I'm going to use you." And so Gideon was sort of a skittish guy. He wanted to make sure he was doing everything. So he told the angel of the Lord, he said, "Now, you just wait right here and let me go make an ephod and get a lamb together, and I'll be right back." And so that's what he did. He comes right back. And verse 21, "And then the angel of the Lord put forth the end of the staff that was in his hand, and he touched the flesh of the unleavened cakes, and there arose up a fire out of the rock and consumed the flesh and the unleavened cakes. Then the angel of the Lord departed out of his sight. And when Gideon had perceived that he was an angel of the Lord, Gideon said, Alas, O Lord God, for because I have seen an angel of the Lord face to face. And the Lord said unto him, Peace be unto thee, fear not, thou shalt not die." You know what God was telling him? "I'll be there. I'll be there fighting your battle. I'll help you. I'm not going to leave you alone." You know, that's something about our God. He's always there. Well, he was still a little skittish. And we all know what happens between verse 36 and 40. That's where he puts out the fleece. And remember, he says, "I just want to make sure here, Lord, that you're involved in this." And remember, two times he said, put dew on the fleece if you're in this. And don't let dew be on the ground. He came back, and there it was. Then he did it vice versa. And there it was. So now Gideon's ready to go. He says, "I think I got God on my side." And incidentally, let me say something about the fleece situation. That's not the way to get answers from God. We don't do those kinds of things. I mean, if you're one of those Christians that says, "Well, I prayed unto the Lord and he didn't give me my answer." Well, what answer were you looking for? Well, I told the Lord, "Lord, I'll do this if you'll strike lightning in that tree right there in the next 3 minutes." Did it happen? No. You know how we get our direction from the Lord? The still small voice in here. The peace, the inner peace that He gives you. I'll be honest with you. I've had opportunity to make decisions, but I didn't feel the peace of God in here. You know what I do when I don't feel the peace of God about it? I make no decision. You go, "Oh, you're a pretty indecision guy." Not really. But I don't want to go ahead of God. I want Him totally involved. And we know the story that Gideon got a bunch of men together to go against the Midianites, and And you can read it, read all about it in Judges chapter 7, about how God dwindled his force down, remember, to 300 men. You know, Gideon didn't need the 20,000, the 30,000 that he had. He didn't need those. God said, just take what I give you. And God's fighting this battle. You know what? I'd much rather have God on my side than 10,000 soldiers, than 900 chariots. I'd much rather have God on my side. That's what Gideon did. Now, what was the point of the life of Gideon? Well, Gideon was an outstanding leader. He was a man of great faith. He said, the Lord's going to fight our battles. In fact, he said to his 300, arise, for the Lord hath delivered into your hand the host of Midian. You know, he's given God all the credit. That's important. You know, one thing we can learn from the life of Gideon, he did not leave God out. He got him totally involved. Now, let's move down to Barak. Barak and Deborah, they're known as sort of companions. They're the fourth, fifth judge of Israel. They were battling the Canaanites. And here they go, and God started working in Barak's heart, and he was sort of a timid guy too. And God used Deborah to sort of get him headed in the right direction. Barak was already a soldier, but he was a little hesitant, and he felt incapable. And God let him have a friend that challenged him, and her name was Deborah. Barak was facing the Canaanites. The captain of the Canaanites, his name was Sisera. And they had over 900 iron chariots and a multitude of massive army. Barak faced them. He had 10,000 men. That's all he had. But here's what he had. He got a hold of God, talked to God about it, and he didn't leave God out. He did not act without God being involved. And he believed God, and God gave him the victory. Huh? What a blessing. Then we come to Samson. He's the 13th judge of Israel. The Philistines was their group that they were battling. And we all know Samson. The angel of the Lord came to his mother and told him, I'm going to bless you with a child. I want you to raise him with the Nazarite vow around his neck. And you say, well, what was the Nazarite vow? It was the Nazarite vow meant an extreme discipline, self-denial, and control of the flesh. Well, Samson didn't quite make very good there, did he? And we all, every one of us in this room, have looked at Samson as what? What a terrible Christian man. I've even done that. But stop and think for just a minute. He was the 13th judge of Israel. He was battling the Philistines on his own. The Israelites were all cowards and running. We say, well, he had weak faith. Yeah, he did. He had problems with his flesh. But his faith was the strongest Israel had, because there wasn't anybody else. And he still stepped forward to battle. Now, I know he messed up. And his name is mentioned in the Hall of Faith. Samson's name is mentioned in the Hall of Faith. God used Samson. It's all he had to use. And this is terrible when you come into a church. I've been in churches like this. Like a pastor one time asked me, he said, boy, Brother Ron, he said, I got to move a bunch of pews, and I don't have any men in our church. All I got's women. I said, well, what can I do to help you? He said, well, bring some of your men over. Help me move these pews. So we got a couple carloads of men, went over there and helped move pews. You know, I'm glad we've got men stepping up to the plate. Amen, fellas. Praise God for you. I'm glad we got women stepping up to the plate, taking their responsibility and running with it. It's sad when a Christian just wants to sit on their laurels and not do anything, because we got Christian responsibility. And we ought to jump in, pitch in, try to help. If everybody does their part, you know what that does for all of us? Here's what it does. It makes it easier for all of us. I mean, the work here, it takes a lot of doing. You learn something. You say, Brother Ron, we do so much around here. We're always doing something. Yeah, you know why? You keep your church active. You keep them doing things. You know why? What, you know why, Brother Tim? Why? Idle. What happens when they become idle? They start chewing on one another. Uh-huh. They start talking. They start, I think the Bible calls it, what? Busybodies. That's what it, hey, read that verse for me. Sound like you know it there, Carol. What? I'm just kidding. I'm just kidding, Carol. Amen. Carol, never speak out again. But that's very true. That's why we keep it acting. Samson, 13th judge of Israel. Here we have the fourth one that we want to talk about. He's the ninth judge of Israel. His name is Jephthah. Jephthah was a man of faith. He was born of a harlot. And you want to read about him? Judges 11 and 12. You can read about Jephthah. And his daddy raised him, but you know, the whole town didn't like him. And the whole town said he was a reproach on his dad. He was rejected by the family. He was rejected by everybody that was there. And Jephthah had total rejection in his life to the point that he left his family. He went to the desert. And you know what he did in the desert? He became a leader. And he was leading a group of men, protecting little tribal villages out in the desert from the Ammonites. And that's what they were doing. They were protecting these villages. Israel's come to the point and says, hey, we don't have a leader to deal with these Ammonites. We need Jephthah. And here come Israel begging for Jephthah to come and fight their battle. Here they run him off, they kicked him out of town, and now they're going back begging him to come back. Jephthah was a man of humility, a man that loved the Lord and had great faith in the Lord. He was a judge of Israel. He was the ninth judge of Israel, and he was battling the Ammonites. I learned a couple of things about Jephthah. He was taunted, he was abused, he was rejected. He went to the desert, and Jephthah believed in God. The first thing I learned about Jephthah, he didn't let his grudges eat him up. He didn't let those things control him. Folks, always, never let your circumstances control you. Always let your relationship with God control you. If your circumstances start controlling you, then they dictate to you how to react. He was a man that didn't hold grudges. And folks, he was a man of pure humility. He humbled himself. It was a time of crisis. And Jephthah went to the Israelites and said, "All right, I need to make a covenant with you." He did. He went to God and said, "God, I need to make a covenant with you." He did. And he kept them. They're very hard. The covenant he made with God was very hard. But he kept it. Because it was between him and the Lord. Folks, he believed in God. And what have we learned about these four people tonight? They did not leave God. He was involved in every area of their lives. Now, stop and look at your day today. Stop. Stop doing what you're doing. Look at your day. How much was God a part of it? 2 minutes? 5 minutes? 7 minutes. How much was he a part? He's supposed to be the most important thing in our lives. You said, "Well, I've eaten 3 times, so I prayed. Lord, bless this food. May it not get cold. Hope you just really take care of it. And Lord, you give me a speedy day today. And thank you for all you do for me. Bye." That's a normal prayer. And we do that 3 times. That's probably, some of us, that's all we've done, if we've done that. Maybe we ought to look at where we are in our relationship with the Lord. These four people had heroic faith. They believed. Father, I pray you'll bless what has been said tonight and you'll use it in our lives. Teach us about these characters. Might the way they lived and conducted themselves be a blessing to us. Thank you, Lord. We love you. Just deal with us tonight. And Lord, if there be one here without Christ as their Savior, I pray that they could realize tonight that they could be saved. Might the Holy Spirit be working in their heart. And if there's a Christian that needs to do business with you tonight, whatever it is, I pray that they would. Bless now. It's in Christ's name we pray. Amen.